When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your moves.
Blog Talk Radio.
Fighter at Long Island MMA, here with us tonight. Hello, Sarah. How are you doing today?
I'm doing lovely.
Good, glad to hear. Thank you for taking your time for this evening. We have a few few things we're going to chat about before we get into anything else. I'm going to talk about the Robbie Lawler versus Carlos Condon fight. It happened on Saturday night. I went to a split decision. A lot of people are up in arms, of course. Like, I feel like every time there's a split decision, people say it should have went one way, should have went another way. If you haven't seen the fight, for those of you who want to see it, you could go on to Carol's Corner MMA, and I have a link to the actual fight, so you can watch it
on
there.
I'm going to have to use that.
Yeah, definitely. My thoughts on the fight, I believe Robbie Lawler won the fight. I think it was a split decision. I think it went 3-2 in the Carlos Condon, I think, won the first round, and then he won the fourth round. But other than that, I think Lola won the second, third, and fifth round. That's my opinion. I think they got it right. It was a close fight. I have a clip, a little bit of an interview I'm going to play for everyone so they can hear how it all went down.
Ladies and gentlemen, after five rounds, we go to the judges' scorecards for decision. Tony Weeks scores the contest 48-47, Condon. Chris Lee scores it 48-47, Lawler. And Derek Cleary scores it 48-47 for the winner by split decision. And still the undisputed USC welterweight champion of the world, who...
All right, so that's the scoring of the fight. And a little bit, they're going to show, Joe Rogan gets up there, chats them about it and whatnot. Here we go.
First, Robbie, first of all, congratulations on one of the best fights I've ever seen in my life. Particularly the fifth and final round was just amazing. Your corner told you, headed into the fourth, that you needed those last two.
Yeah, Carlos is a hell of a fighter, comes from one of the best camps in the world. He had a great game plan. We battled it out. There was two winners tonight, and still, but let's do it again.
That fifth round was just nothing short of spectacular, Robbie. You knew that your back was against the wall. You knew it was a very close fight, and you came out guns blazing. when you did that, were you surprised at all that he was able to absorb these shots?
Man, Carlos is so tough. It's, every time I see him fight, he proves everyone wrong, shows how tough he is. He's been doing this for a long time. Hats off to a champion, Carlos Condit.
Was there anything surprising about this fight to you?
No, he was everything everyone said he was. He's tough as hell.
All right, Sarah, I have a question for you. Do you think the respect that Robbie Lawler has shown Condit because he felt that he lost? Or do you think it is because, I know you haven't watched the fight, but do you think, just listening to that, he just has, they both have a lot of respect for each other. That's just the type of fighters they are.
Well, being that I didn't watch it because I passed out, if I had to judge it based off that, I mean, I feel like he's such a nice guy that it could be that it was so close that neither of them really even knew who won. I don't know, because I feel like usually someone like that that has that much respect, if they know that they lost, they might be like, I don't even know if I won, or say something like that.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. He definitely is a nice guy. I met him in person up in Wisconsin. Real nice guy. Loves his fans and all. And this is before he actually got back into the UFC is when I met him. Definitely a humble dude.
A while ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago. So he's kind of made a rise back real quickly. What are your thoughts of that? The fact that some of these UFC guys have fought, done all right, lost, got cut, and then now they're making comebacks. Like Anthony Rumble Johnson has done the same thing.
Yeah. Well, he has something hidden in his glove because he just knocks everyone out.
Yeah, that's a brick.
He's a beast. Yeah, he has a brick hidden. He just scares everyone.
Do you think it's the fact that these guys are, changing the way they're fighting or the style, what they're doing inside the gym? Or is there anything maybe they're just maturing and, cutting weight better?
Probably a combination of all of it. And also, the sport's changing so much. So I feel like the way people are training is changing so much. I feel like it used to be more I guess it varies from camp to camp, but I feel like it used to be more all right, we're just going to spar a bunch and hurt our bodies so much. And now I feel like people focus more on recovery.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
smart training.
Yeah, recovery is a huge part. I feel like a lot of people definitely used to leave that out of training. Recovery is a must. You need a healthy body to continue. Holly Holm signs a new deal with the UFC this week. Should be announced the details later this week as well, announced by the UFC. It's been all over Fox Sports News, so they've put that up there. I'll let everyone know. And then My MMA News has an announcement. The owner, Eric Cowell, he couldn't resist and couldn't wait to tell everyone. And he said tonight going to have exclusively on MyMMAnews.com, they're going to have UFC on UFC and Fox Sports writer Damon Martin on the line with Mickey Gale. And they're going to see if Mickey Gale is the future fighter of future opponent of CM Punk. A lot of people waiting to find out. So do you think that would be a good matchup for him? Or do you want to see him fight someone a little bit bigger? Any thoughts on who you think he should fight?
I don't know. It's just going to be a spectacle for me.
Yeah, just a lot of hoo-ha going around, a lot of people talking.
It's a little bit humorous to me.
Gotcha. All right. And then we're going to jump to Conor McGregor, who happened to, after the Conor McGregor fight, the 13-second championship win, Nate Diaz and all had his fight recently. And he called McGregor out after. Do you think that would be a fun fight to watch, one of the Diaz brothers to watch fight Conor McGregor? Do you think it would be a quality bout?
I think it would be awesome. But, I mean, I feel like the Diaz brothers keep their hands down, so I don't know how that would work out. But I think it would be fun, and I think it would happen. I think Dana White would want to make it happen just because of all the shit they would talk and how much they would pump that up. It would be pretty funny. The post, yeah. I listened to that post-fight interview where he called Conor McGregor out, and I was laughing to myself.
I was actually about to play that just now. McGregor and Diaz are both the brothers. The three of them are definitely the shit talkers of them all. That's for
yeah.
sure. They've all learned from their from Chael Sonnen, the guy who was started.
Oh my god!
One of the king trash talkers for the rest of them. But here's the clip of Diaz after his win.
I'm here with the winner, Nate Diaz. Nate, it's been a long time, been a year since we've seen you in the octagon, but you have never looked sharper. This is a beautiful performance against a very tough guy in Michael Johnson. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, Conor McGregor, you're taking everything I work for, motherfucker. I'm going to fight your You know what's the real fight? What's the real money fight? It's me, not these clowns that you already punked at the press conference. Don't no one want to see that. You know you beat them already. That's the easy fight. You want that real right here. Hey, and I'm not.
Unfortunately, we can't talk like that on Fox. Congratulations, Nate, on a spectacular victory.
The classic Nate Diaz definitely has no problem just yelling
eloquent.
About anything. Yeah, oh yeah, very eloquent. No problem on Fox cursing up a storm. On the actual, right after the fight, I know they bleeped out the entire interview, so you couldn't hear a single thing what he was saying. But
really?
I managed to find this on the YouTube. So yeah, they bleeped it all out. You couldn't hear anything. You just heard him yelling at the mic. So
I love that. I love when people do that.
It makes for a good night. All right.
Yeah.
And then we had a response from McGregor to Mayweather. Mayweather was claimed being racist, people being racist because or racism still exists because everyone loves McGregor for being cocky and whatnot, and Floyd Mayweather didn't like that because he gets cold, cocky, and arrogant, where everyone loves McGregor. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's really racism, or do you think it's just a different take on different sports?
Yeah, I don't think it's racism. Definitely, I wouldn't even think of race in that situation. But I do think Irish people have a lot of pride, and there's not really another Irish fighter, so I think that's why he has so many fans. So maybe if Mayweather was from a country where there wasn't another fighter, he would be praised too. But he kind of has done like a lot of shitty things that people don't really like. But then there are people who praise him too, so I don't really know what he's talking about.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree with you. There are a lot of people who praise Mayweather. He's a hell of a boxer. You can't take that away from him.
Yeah. Oh,
boxer.
He's amazing.
But it's the shitty things he's done outside of the ring that I think a lot of people aren't fond of, and that's where he's run into some trouble. So
yeah,
I agree with you.
Who even knows if that's true? Like, who even knows what's true? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I agree with you. Irish people are definitely proud. They're definitely known for saying what's on their mind and talking their head. So it's quite entertaining, and McGregor's definitely an interesting character, that's for sure.
And I feel like he's like more of an act. Like, he's just saying it just for fun to pump up the fight. Like, I feel like Mayweather is a dick to his opponents, but really means it. Like, I feel like McGregor always shows respect after. Like, last fight, he showed respect after.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. There definitely is some respect. He doesn't continue the shenanigans afterwards. He kind of brings himself down a little bit, even though he is collecting a hell of a paycheck. Where Mayweather kind of just boasts around and kind of gets obnoxious and whatnot.
I don't know how that's racism when Mayweather's making all that money, too. He's making a lot more than Conor McGregor.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. I think boxing still has the advantage on mixed martial arts, where paychecks to the receiver are ginormous.
Yeah. Well, when you're at that level. Like, pennies.
Yeah. Definitely, yep. All right, we're going to switch gears, and we're going to move into talking more about you, Sarah. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into mixed martial arts and why you do it?
Okay, so my name is Sarah. My favorite color is blue. I'm 25. I feel like I'm writing like a dating profile thing right now.
For eHarmony.com.
Yeah, right. I'm like, I like long walks on the beach. I like a good cheeseburger. But I went to Hofstra and I studied marketing there. And then I took a finance job upon graduation. Played sports my whole life. And every sport I played, I said that I was going to be a professional athlete at that sport. But then I changed my mind. So I'd be like, 1 year, oh, I'm going to be this like Olympic runner. Then the next year, I'd be like, I'm going to be an Olympic skier. The next year, I'd be like, I'm going to be a pro basketball player, but first I'm going to play at UConn. Like, I'd have all these plans, and then they changed because I was a little kid, and I could never really keep my interest on one thing. And then when I started MMA, I liked it because there's so much to it that I can never get bored. Like, if one day I'm just getting so burnt out from just boxing, I can be like, all right, I'm going to wrestle. And it's, like, new and exciting. Or I'm going to go do jiu-jitsu. It just, like, held my interest. So I was like, all right, this is the sport I want.
Yeah, there definitely is a lot of aspects to MMA, that's for sure. There's always something new you could learn. I know even the greatest fighters are always learning something new. Now, what exactly brought you into the gym that kind of got you started? You just go for, like, training or?
I randomly took a class. And it was like a woman's cardio class, and no disrespect to that because it gets you in great shape, but I was like, all right, this is not enough for me because I've competed in sports my whole life. Like, I want to compete. So then I spoke to a trainer, and he never trained a girl, but he was like, all right, fine, I'll just do it. And I was like, yep, let's go.
That's pretty cool. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're interested in calling and asking Sarah a question, please dial in at 213-943-3517. If you're listening, please call in. And you can also follow us and work with us on, interact with us on Twitter and Facebook at Carol's Corner MMA on Facebook and Twitter at JIBLITZ77 for Twitter. Sarah, what's your handlers on Twitter and Facebook and all that? Do you have like a fighter page?
I don't have a fighter page because I feel like I'm not cool enough yet. but my Instagram is Sarah with three H's, Thomas. And then right. I think it's the same for Twitter, but I'm not really that active on Twitter because it's like such a short number of characters and I feel pressured to be funny. So I like force things out that aren't funny. I'm not successful with Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter is a different character, that's for sure. I like Instagram. You can throw out the photos. People can see all different cool things. It's kind of just grabs your attention right away. But Twitter, you got to put
too much.
You got to shrink links and all this. Yeah, I agree with you. It definitely is a little bit more intense on the Twitter. All right. So you started with a kickboxing class. You got with that. Now, how did you start like training to fight? Like, you've had what's your record now? 1-1 or 2-0?
I had one MMA fight that I lost. That was my first fight. Then I won a kickboxing fight, and then I did Golden Gloves and made it to the semifinals. So that's all of my stuff. And then like jiu-jitsu tournaments, but that doesn't really count. But to train to fight, I said like right away that I wanted to fight. So our whole training was extremely technical. Like, Mark was the guy who trained me. He was at Belmore, but he moved, broke everything down, and made sure that my basics were like as sharp as possible. And we started with boxing and then moved on to kickboxing and then eventually moved on to jiu-jitsu. But he just wanted to make sure my basics were like on point, since it wasn't like I started, oh, I'll just do cardio and then, oh, now I want to fight. I was just like, I want to fight. So he just broke it down and made it kind of boring at first, but I liked it.
Gotcha. All right, cool. And I know, I understand you're a tall fighter. You're about 5'11", correct?
Yeah, 5'10", 5'11", depending on how much I'm hunching over that day.
So when you're in there, now do you feel like you have an advantage with most opponents when you're in the ring or the cage?
I like being taller, but I feel like it's an advantage in some ways, but a disadvantage in other ways. I've, like, gotten my footwork so much better now, and I feel like if you're a tall fighter with good footwork, it's, like, really hard to fight you. But if you get kind of flat-footed, taking down someone with legs as long as mine is a little bit easier than a short, stocky guy. So I think there's advantages and then disadvantages. But I would prefer being taller. Like, I'm happy with my height for fighting.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. Other disadvantages and advantages as well. Although you've been, I know you've been injured for a little bit, and now you're making your way back. Is there any fights in the future or anything like that? Is anything lined up for you?
I had like 3 fights in a row that were canceled, literally over a span of 2 months. So I like cut weight, then found out a fight was canceled like days before, ate everything in sight, found out like a week later that I could have a fight, cut weight, found out it was canceled, ate everything in sight, found out I could have another fight. So it was like crazy, and I'd like destroyed my body basically. So I took like a month to just relax and just eat whatever was available. And now I'm just going to do Golden Gloves again because it's just guaranteed fights, and I need ring experience because I really have been having a very hard time finding fights. And I don't even know, like, I wonder if it's because MMA is illegal in New York. Like, I'm starting to think that that could be causing an issue.
Yeah, you know, I know it is a problem with women at 135, or just women in general, trying to find fights. You pretty much fought all the women in the area in your weight class.
Mm-hmm.
You fought Catalina, correct?
Yeah, and I mean, she went down in weight, so we wouldn't even be able to fight again, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And, like, at that point, it's...
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And it's just tough finding opponents in the area. There's not many women fighting at 135 in the area.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, being that it's not pro, not legal to be pro in the area, it doesn't make it more difficult. Now, has traveling ever been like an option for you? Or, like, I know it's an expensive task to kind of pull off to, as an amateur fighter, to travel and whatnot. What's the thought process behind that?
I've had fights fall through in other places, but I've noticed, like, a promoter might reach out to me about a fight farther away and then ask me how far I am and then not want to pay for travel, or they'll find someone closer. So it kind of sucks that MMA is illegal in New York, because I feel like it's creating a problem for me to even find amateur fights, because why fly me in to this random state when there's so many girls available there already and they don't have to spend money, and the amateur shows I'm sure don't make a ton of money, so why would they want to spend that on a plane ticket in a hotel? But then I had one fight that was going to be in Massachusetts, and then I ended up having to get an eye exam for it and then found a hole in my retina, so that was fun, so I had to get that fixed, but then snow canceled those anyway.
Oh, so, it's,
so
you didn't even miss them anyway.
I just had bad luck, yeah.
Gotcha, yeah, that does suck. So you got the eye retina fixed. You've had an ankle injury, correct?
Foot. I broke my foot, and then I got a plate in it.
Okay, and are you all healed now with that, or how's that coming along?
Yeah, that was actually 2013, and I just wore casts for a while, and then my bone didn't heal properly, so that was kind of a nightmare. And then I had to get surgery. And I fought. I got surgery in April, and then I fought my first fight in September. So I kind of just, like, jumped right back into it. Like, I couldn't walk for 6 weeks after my surgery. So let's say, like, June's when I was, like, okay, and then I ended up fighting in September.
That's pretty cool. Fact that you were able to get back in there right away. Take us through your first fight. I understand you fought Catalina, who's actually a pretty tough opponent. She's pretty skilled, very strong ground, like strong grappler. Got hard, heavy hands. And you took her the distance, I believe, in your first bout. And I know you received a point deduction for grabbing the cage on a first-time basis.
Yeah.
no warning in an amateur fight, which there should be. I personally believe, but it took. Kind of explain that to us, that whole fight.
I didn't feel nervous at all. I thought that I could do well with my striking, but once that point was taken from me, like right away in the first round, I was like a little discouraged because I felt like now I'm down. now I'm down this round, and I'm going to have to find out how to, like, recover from this. This is my first fight. Like, a point's taken. That sucks. I'm going to have to do something outrageous. But also, like, I was supposed to fight 2 weeks before that, and I was going to fight a girl who was 5'10 and a striker. So I was just training striking and expecting to just box a girl in MMA gloves, basically. And then this fight came up, and my trainer was about to move right after, so he wanted me to get in a fight with him so that when I found a new trainer, I at least had one fight. And so we did, like, takedown defense for 2 weeks, so that was fun. So I spent a lot of time on the cage, like, not really knowing how to properly position myself, and then she just used her weight to keep me there. I don't know if it was it entertaining? I don't really remember.
I've seen the video. I wasn't there at that one physically, uh-huh. But I have seen the video, and it was a pretty entertaining fight. I remember they were talking about it on Tom Kilkenny's show that he does, East Coast MMA show, and that's where I actually first heard about it. And they were actually very impressed, I know, with your performance in that fight, being your first fight and how well you did and whatnot. And the striking abilities is what they really were impressed with, the way you kept your range. Now, I know that, thoughts on next fight. Like, so you took this fight, you fought, now you haven't been able to find another female fight. I know you keep trying to get something with MMA Platinum Gloves and, ACC. Now, any thoughts on, boxing? What's your next fight in boxing?
So, I'm doing Golden Gloves, and the way it's done is you sign up, you have to go through all these, like, physicals and everything, and then you have to be registered with USA Boxing, so it's kind of like a big process, and then they tell you about a week before you fight, and then you fight on whatever day, and that's that. So the girls, there's less girls than guys, so they typically start them later during the tournament. The tournament runs from the end of January till April, so it's kind of crazy because you have to be on weight the whole time and you don't know when you're fighting until about a week before and you just have to show up.
Yeah,
and then
all right,
if you win, you keep going on. And it's interesting, though, because for guys in the Golden Gloves, they divide it based on how many fights you've had. So you could have novice if you've had, like, under a certain amount of fights, and then open, and then elite, which is, like, high-level Olympic athlete-type people. But for girls, oh, and that the higher levels for guys, they have 4 rounds rather than 3, I'm pretty sure. But, like, the novice ones have 3 rounds. But for girls, it's 4 rounds, and there's no distinction between how many fights you've had. So you can fight someone with a ton of fights, and you just have to deal with it, which is a little less safe, but there's not really much else they can do because there's not enough girls.
Okay. All right. Now with the boxing and whatnot, now do you have any, like, background in fighting or anything like that, or combat sports? You said you've done sports all your life. You've been a runner and such. I guess take us through a little bit of a history of sports.
Sports history. Oh, man. I guess the earliest sport I did was probably soccer, and I maintained that until high school. And I played, like, on summer leagues during college just to stay active, but that wasn't really – like, I thought about playing in college, but I really didn't want to. I ran, like, my whole life, and that was another sport that I contemplated doing in college but didn't really want to either. I danced for a while until I was, like, 16. What other sports? I skied my whole life. I played basketball, like, my whole life. I'm trying to think of, like, what other sports. Well, I mean, in college, that's when I changed it up and I played rugby. So I guess that's kind of a combat sport in a way.
Yeah, it's a very physical sport. I would consider it a collision sport. How was that? Like, that's a whole different, like, whole game compared to the rest of the sports you've played. Physical brutality.
Yeah, I think that's more brutal than fighting, to be completely honest, because you are, like, tackling people at full speed with no gear, so it's not like football, which who knows how much that gear really does, considering the concussions and everything, but...
Not a whole lot.
Yeah, a whole other topic, but... So you could be, like, a 120-pound chick, and then, like, a 180-pound jacked girl taller than me could just clothesline you or something, you know? Like, it's pretty crazy. I mean, you can't tackle above the waist, or it's illegal, but it happens sometimes, and that sport's brutal. I liked it, though, but I don't think I would ever play it again because I think I would just get hurt.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of injuries do come from rugby, being that there is no gear, and you don't even wear a helmet. If you do, you wear, like, a little leather helmet that they wore for, like, football.
Yeah, which is nothing.
Like 30. Yeah, it's not really going to maybe stop your ears from blowing up or something like that. Cauliflower.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I feel like the worse the people you play with, the like worse your injuries will be. Because if you watch rugby at a higher level, they pass the ball before they're even tackled. But at like a lower level, it's just a bunch of like collisions, I feel like.
Gotcha. All right. Cool. All right. Now we're going to talk about favorite fighters in the UFC or MMA. Hey, it doesn't have to be UFC. Do you have a favorite fighter in any of the combat sports, boxing, MMA?
Oh, man, that's so hard. So many that I like. I like John Jones a lot in MMA.
Okay.
Like, a lot. I think he's awesome.
Is there, like, a reason, like a style reason that you like watching?
Yeah, his style is just sick. It's so fun to watch.
No, I definitely agree with you. He is a fun fighter to watch.
Like, he's probably my favorite to watch, I'd say.
Okay.
I like, what's her name, Joanna, I can't pronounce her last name.
Oh, Polish. Yeah, the strawweight champion right now.
Yeah, she's awesome. I like her a lot, yeah. She's, like, watching her striking is so much fun. Who else is awesome to watch? I don't know, there's just so many people that are fun.
Cool.
I try not to like anyone in my own weight class, though.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah. So you have to fight them, you don't like them.
I idolize them because I want to beat them.
That definitely makes sense. A lot of times people are like, oh, they're my idol. I know I'm going to have to fight them.
Yeah, no, you're not my idol. I won't wear your name on my back, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I want to be on your level. Like, I want to be your peer, not you above me.
Yeah, definitely, yeah, because I feel like if you idolize someone in your weight class and you have to fight them, it's going to make it a lot more difficult to
beat them. Yeah, that's awkward. I mean, afterwards, you guys can be cool, you know?
Yeah. All right. With John Jones, he's a Long Island, or not Long Island, but he's a New York State guy. He won the 189-pound state championship in wrestling in 2005.
Nice.
And
fun fact.
I know his older brother Arthur won as well. I'm not sure what weight class. I think it was heavyweight.
Family.
Yeah, right. Well, two Super Bowls and a heavyweight or a lightweight champ.
Yeah.
Light heavyweight.
That's awesome. Well, imagine how proud the parents are.
Right? Yeah, that would be pretty. Family full of sick athletes.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm gonna play a little game with you, Sarah. All right. So
I'm gonna get everything wrong if it's a quiz.
It's not so much of like a quiz or anything, but.
Whether you like it or not, okay? You want to be a hero? You want a medal or are you a coward? Knock off the hippie shit, strap on a helmet, start shooting. This is Malibu, Emily. I want you to storm that beast like it's fucking Normandy. Whether you like it or not, okay? You want to be a hero? You want a medal or are you a coward?
Starts looping. All right, so we're going to play. Who do you have winning? So I have a couple matchups, and they're coming up. It's Dillashaw versus Cruz. The Bantamweight Championship. Who do you have
winning? Dillashaw.
Yeah, Dillashaw taking it again, huh?
Yeah, and because I'm, like, so... He's probably one of my other favorites to watch after his last excellent display of athleticism. He's such a beast.
Yeah,
his footwork
I like,
is, like, insane.
I like them both, and I agree with you. The only thing... I feel like Cruz right now is getting into his head watching some pre-interviews or pre-fight interviews, and Cruz just keeps kind of, like, mocking him, kind of, and...
Dillashaw, yeah,
really
I don't know. He seems mentally tough, though.
I think it'll be a great fight, that's for sure. I don't expect anything less than that. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Pettis or Alvarez? Same card.
I feel like I'm basing this off who I like more as a person, which I shouldn't do, but Pettis.
All right, awesome. Yeah, I have Pettis winning that.
Just
like
because he's exciting and he has a great personality.
Yeah, that's
I'm
another...
I'm picking who I want, not who I think. But actually, I think it's who I think. But
there you go.
I'm
and,
so biased right now.
one of your teammates, too, Chris Wade, I believe he's fighting on the Dillashaw Cruz.
Oh, he's Pettis winning,
Alvarez card, right? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Another Long Island guy.
Awesome.
Yeah, great guy, working hard. It's awesome to see him doing well. Now we have Holly Holm or Rousey in match number two.
Holly Holm.
Holly Holm, you have her taking sweeping it?
Yeah, because it's just like, and I don't, I think Ronda Rousey will do better, but the fact that she's already saying that she'll retire if she will lose again is so different from her normal way of speaking. Like, she'd always say, I'll never lose, I'm winning, there's no other option. But then she says, if I lose again, I'll retire. Like, she's even putting that in the atmosphere, and I feel like she's even said something about that before she ever lost, like that she wouldn't even think she could lose, but the fact she's even making it a possibility.
Now, do you think that's because, she's been at the top of the game for so long, been the champion for so long, that if she does lose again to Holly Holm, there's really nothing else for her. Like, what are you going to have, a third fight and hopefully she beats her again? Or is she just going to... She's eliminated everyone else in the weight class.
Yeah, and I feel like it'd also be smart for her because she's making a lot of movies and making money doing that. And it might... I don't know... Last fight, I feel like she really messed up her jaw and everything, and you don't want to take too much damage. I mean, not that she's ever really taken damage. She finishes people so fast, but she could preserve her body and move forward using her celebrity in other ways. But I don't know. I feel like people treated her so badly afterwards, too.
Everyone jumped on the Holly Holm bandwagon, that's for sure.
Yeah. I always liked Holly Holm because my first trainer made me watch her before she was anyone, just because she was so good at boxing and then transferred to MMA and she was tall.
She was a very similar style to yourself.
I try.
Yeah.
Sick cardio though.
Yeah, definitely. Now, all right. So then we're going to have, after that one, Rousey versus Cyborg.
Oh God. I don't know. I think Cyborg will never make the weight.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think she'll ever get back down to the weight. But I'm just going to take Rousey on that one. That's my choice.
I think, just because I don't know. But then I also watched this interview on Cyborg where she talked about how hard it is that she made that mistake once taking steroids or whatever. So then I started to feel bad.
Yeah, you're cheating the sport once you do it.
Yeah,
right.
It's kind of karma, I guess.
All right, but there is talk now. So the next one we have is Holm versus Cyborg. Holm's talked about going up in weight class to fight her. Who do you have
that
in that?
I think Holly Holm would win, but I think that would be pretty cool.
All right.
But at the same time, who knows what could happen. I've watched Cyborg, but I don't know if I've watched her necessarily against someone really good. I'd have to rewatch her.
Yeah, I agree with you. A lot of the opponents I've seen her fight, I feel like they're just kind of a bunch of bums.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's just ripping through them. I feel like she just has no problem destroying them. But I know she is pretty good at on the ground grappling. She won the...
Yeah, isn't she a black belt?
Yeah, won the female Brazilian jiu-jitsu world championships. But then again, I don't know what level athletes there are in that either, so it's kind of hard to really kind of...
I feel like there's more in that, probably.
Probably, I would say so, but it's just tough to evaluate just because it's hard to really...
Yeah,
at
the same time, I'll do a jiu-jitsu tournament and it's me and another girl and I win and then I get a gold medal and I'm like, oh, cool.
I get excited because you want to get in there and it's cool you got the gold, but did you really learn enough from what you were doing? So,
yeah,
all right.
Exactly.
Now, and then the last one would be, who would you have fight if you could make a dream matchup in any weight class or mix and match a couple weight classes? Who would you have fight?
Floyd Mayweather, Ronda Rousey. No, I'm totally kidding. I would never. Me versus Sage Northcutt. No, I'm kidding again.
You want to get in there with
Sage Northcutt?
Northcutt
again?
I think he's I want to say 155. 155.
I want him to fight Chris Wade.
Yeah, you
want
to see him
Chris
fight.
Chris Wade to beat him. Yes.
You just want to eliminate Northcutt, huh?
Yeah, because he's just, I don't know, he looks like Lance Bass or something.
And he got paid all this money.
I saw like all this stuff about how much money he was getting paid compared to other fighters, and it just upset me. I mean, I guess he's marketable, but to who? 13-year-old girls? I don't really understand. I don't know. I'm being a dick right now, I guess.
Well, is it frustrating when you see like fighters like that?
Oh, yeah, me versus sister. That's my dream matchup.
There you go. All right. Now, is it frustrating when fighters like that hop into the UFC and then you see other fighters such as, like, say, Chris Wade, who's already won 3 fights in the UFC, and, like, the amount of money that people are making just doesn't equal up to, like, what they deserve.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, I would say, sometimes I feel like the people who don't really speak English as well, he thinks he can't market them as well, so he doesn't push them as much. But then I don't understand situations like Chris Wade, for example, where he seems so marketable that what makes him choose certain people, it makes you wonder what kind of shady shit could be going on.
That does bring up a good question. I agree with you on that one. It's always curious to what makes them think certain people are more marketable than others. I guess you have to have a crazy mouth, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
And some finishes, but I know Wade has a finish and whatnot, so who knows? I think it's just a matter of time. People kind of get what they deserve. That's for sure. So, all right.
I don't know, but at the same time, I'd take advantage of it, too, if I was that kid. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. If I was in those shoes, I would definitely do the same thing. Take it and run, that's for sure.
So we can't really hate on him.
Definitely. Sarah, anything you want to add? Anything like next time you're fighting? Anything we should know about you?
Well, I plan on doing Golden Gloves and then taking as many fights as I can find, but I might try to go pro in like a year or so if I can't really find any more fights and just do boxing for now. Because I can't keep like having fights get canceled. I feel like I could find pro fights easier. So once I feel like my jiu-jitsu is good enough and I've got enough boxing fights in, I'll probably just do that.
Cool. All right. I know you've been wanting to do wrestling tournaments and whatnot and such.
I can do to get experience.
That's cool. Yeah, it definitely helps for sure. I know a lot of people are always trying to get into that. I think it's a matter of finding like enough females that are doing it. So.
Definitely, I
know, right? Yeah. So, all right, cool. Anything that fans might not know about you that they should know about you?
Fans. That's funny. I'm accepting gifts if anyone wants to just send me free things.
You're accepting free gifts.
If any of you creeps out there want to give me free shit, I'll take it. But besides that,
very careful what you ask
for. I'm not that cool. Yeah, I might get a free shit. I'm gonna have shit in my mailbox. I don't know. I'm not that cool. I pretend I'm cooler than I really am.
Sarah, I think you're being a tad modest. But it's a pleasure having you on today. It's a pleasure talking to you. There's definitely a lot more. Looking forward to hopefully seeing you fight some more. That's for sure.
I know, right? I'm a pretend fighter.
We just have to get you back in the cage. I think we just have to go online and call everyone out.
Yeah, fuck all of you.
So anyone who wants to fight Sarah, definitely Hit her up or like call her out. Let's see if we could get a fight for
Sarah. Yeah. I'll buy you food after.
See that? You fight her, and she'll buy you some
free
food
meal
afterwards. Free meal. All right?
I'll fight a dude. I swear.
Anyone and everything.
125-pound guy. Are you ready?
There you go.
Oh, my God.
Well, Sarah Thomas.
Sick shit.
Pleasure having you on. Those of you who want to find the replay of this, go online to Carol's Corner MMA on Facebook, or you can go to JibLitz77 on Twitter. So if you want to find it there, go there. And that is all for our show today. Sarah,
Woo.
Thank you.
Thank you. Twas fun.
Adios, everyone.
much, this hurts so much.
I got 99 problems, and they all bitches wish I was Jigglin'. Carefree living, but I'm not Sean or Martin Louis. I'm the Cleveland nigga, rolling with the Brooklyn boy. You know how I be when you start living large. I control my own life, Charles was never in charge. No sitcom can teach Scott about the drama or even explain the troubles that haunted my mom. On Christmas time, my mom Christmas grind got me most of what I wanted. How'd you do it, mom? Huh? She copped the toys I would play with in my room by myself while he by himself. He got two older brothers, one hood, one good. Independent, know the sister kept me blind when she could. But they all didn't see the little bit of sadness in me. Scotty, I've got some issues that nobody can see. And all of these emotions are pouring out of me. I bring them to the light in you. It's only right. This is the soundtrack to my life. Like a sixth sense. Since my father died, I ain't been right since. And I tried to piece the puzzle of the universe, split an eighth of shrooms just so I could see the universe. I try to think about myself as a sacrifice, just to show the kids they ain't the only ones who up at night. The moon will illuminate my room, and soon I'm consumed by my doom. Once upon a time, nobody gave a fuck. It's all said and done, and my cock's been sucked. So now I'm in the cut, alcohol in the womb. My heart's an open sore that I hope heals soon. I live in a cocoon opposite of Cancun, where it is never sunny, the dark side of the moon. So it's more than light, I try and shed some light on the man. Not many people of this planet understand. I've got some issues that nobody can see, and all of these emotions are pouring out of me. I bring them to the light for you. It's only right. This is the soundtrack to my life. The soundtrack to my life. Trying some coke and a happy ending be slitting my throat. Ignorance to cope, man. Ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is love, and I need that shit. If I never did shows, then I'd probably be a myth. If I cared about the blogs, then I'd probably be a jackass. Don't give a shit what people talking about, fam. Hate to shake my hand, but I keep the sanitizer on deck. Hope I really get to see 30. Wanna settle down, stop being so flirty. Most of the clean faces be the most dirty. I just see the thoroughbred cook when I'm hungry. Ass all chunky, brain is insanity. Only things that calm me down, pussy up some Cali Street. And I get both, never truly satisfied. I am happy, that's just a status lie. I've got some issues that nobody can see, and all of these emotions are pouring out of me. I bring them to the light for you. It's only right. This is the soundtrack to my life. The soundtrack to my life. 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 To my life.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar.
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything!
This
Tuesday through Saturday at Kohl's, only once a year. Friends and family save a little more with an extra 25% off, so you can give a little more this holiday. It's time to get cozy, so bundle up for the tree lighting with Mad and Girl outerwear, just $39.99. Spread some holiday cheer with girls' festive sweaters for only $19.99. And give a cozy night's sleep with men's sleep sets, just $19.99. Kohl's. Select styles offer valid 12/6 through 12/10. Some exclusions apply. See store or kohls.com for details.